This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel and Dennis Halnan of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and Dennis by phone at 860-522-9842 or email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com. Get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here are Eric and Dennis on WTIC News Talk 1080.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And yes, we do have Ziggy in the studio. We'll see how he does today, or it does. Keep giving it a pronoun. It's neither. It is an it. And so we'll see if we get ribbits out of Ziggy or we get information out of Ziggy. But it is in studio. And we'll see what happens with that. So just a little warning. We had to bring my son and his new wife to the airport this morning for their honeymoon, and I'm a little sleepy. It was an early morning. No. So I apologize right now for my performance. I will do my best to give you a great program, but I'm just going to give you a heads up. I'm a little sleepy. if I don't make any sense, that's the reason. That's not only the reason, but it's the...
the main reason
the main
today.
Reason. Exactly. Right. There you go, Dennis. That's what I was trying to say. So there's been a lot of news in the IT world, Dennis.
Oh, tons.
And one of the ones that's kind of made some big news, and we've talked about this ad nauseum. I think I've talked about water system security for 15 years. I served 7 years on the water system in Southington. This is ridiculous.
And we've been talking about it at least since I've been doing this,
yes,
too.
So, yes, sir. Yeah. Many, many years. Guys, if you're a superintendent of a water system, I'll exclude Waterbury because clearly you don't understand how water works. You need to secure your internet-facing devices with not the default password or no password, for crying out loud.
Change those passwords.
You have one job. You're a superintendent to maintain water so people can live. And the least you can do is change the passwords on your SCADA system so that the Iranians don't hack you, for crying out loud.
No.
There's 30 water systems that have been impacted recently. And CISA has put out warnings over and over again. CISA is a federal agency that we've had David, our local rep here, talk to you guys on our program.
Yep.
And their job is to tell you how to be secure.
Mm-hmm. And one of the basic items in that list is change default passwords.
And then put one on at least.
So a lot of them are blank. Yeah.
So you've got all sorts of issues here. They've been able to lock operators out of their own devices.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I mean, come on, man. You guys, this is not, it's unacceptable. This is it. Last warning. Okay. If you're a superintendent of a water system or you're on a board of water commissioners, you need to make sure that the obvious has been taken care of. It's funny, too, because even when I was a water commissioner, you know what we decided to do?
What?
Put fences around the sources of water. Because when the planes threw into the buildings, we were like, well, what else could they do? Right? Oh. So you start thinking about, well, our water systems need to be protected. So you know what you need to do? You need to put fences around the actual sources because people could do bad things to the sources.
Right. So part of the protection is the physical protection of the water itself.
Duh. Right? Right. So, I mean, this is the digital protection of the system itself. Put a password on your SCADA systems, for crying out loud. Also, just in case you don't do this, don't connect a semi-truck worth of chlorine to the system so a guy in Iran can actually crank it up to the point where you could dump a semi-truck worth of chlorine into your system and damage it. Right? You remember Flint?
Yes.
They made a change to the actual water chemistry, which actually messed with the slime, believe it or not, on the pipes that allowed them to be corroded and actually then produce all the lead leaching into your system. That little slime layer, I know it sounds gross, but it's true, is there to protect the pipes, and they messed with the pH, right? Because they were doing something else. Oh, you know what? They also chose a different source, too. They chose some sort of different source of water, too.
They changed the source of the water.
Yeah, which had a different pH as well.
Correct.
So, guys, stop it. We're going to put the link out here for you. You have one job. We as citizens are assuming, I know it was probably, you know, it's what happens when you assume, that you are literally thinking about this stuff, right? You're going and reviewing your systems. You're doing, hey, can I log into this with a password? Oh, I can. Well, you need to fire your IT guy, right? This has got to stop, and it's ridiculous. And this is water systems. Just as a clue, if you happen to be in other systems like this, it applies to you too.
Same principle. Yeah.
This is like leaving the door unlocked, leaving the vault unlocked at the bank and wondering why your bank is empty.
Uh-huh.
So I'm sorry to rant about that. But if you think about what's going on in Waterbury as it is, these poor folks can't even get their water to work. So it's true. Crazy. What do you got, Dennis?
I have an interesting pair of podcasts from Bob Sullivan,
all right,
who's a journalist who's been doing consumer affairs and focusing on technology in that field for a long time.
Yep.
He now does a podcast for AARP called The Perfect Scam.
All right.
And he covers how people are getting scammed.
Right. It's good to watch this stuff to see what happens.
It is.
There.
I'm telling you, this podcast is kind of frightening.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing what people are scammed into. Amazing.
Right. Now, I have actually two podcast entries for this. I'm going to post links to each one so that we get them both.
Nice.
But what happened, this story concerns a pilot. He's like a stunt pilot or a pilot for hire.
Nice.
In the Virginia area. Okay.
Sounds like a cool dude.
He kind of is a cool dude.
Oh.
And for a long time, as in like 15 years or more, maybe. Yeah.
Does he have a Magnum PI mustache?
I don't know. All right, I didn't see a picture of him. At any rate, what's been happening for years and years and years is that scammers have been impersonating him.
Really?
On like matchmaking services, you know, Match.com, stuff like that.
They took his likeness.
They took his name.
Yes.
His town.
Wow.
I mean,
they made a profile of themselves.
They created a profile that they control that he is not involved with.
No, you had no idea.
And they're using that to hook up with different women all over the place.
Wow.
And
I mean, if you don't have your own Magnum PI mustache, you got to start somewhere.
You got to appropriate his, I guess. At any rate, the poor guy has been having things like flowers delivered to his house because the women that are communicating with this faker online are doing a little Googling, and they're finding his ID.
Nice.
And they're finding out about him online because he's in the job that he's got, he has a little bit of an online presence.
Yeah, right.
Where
people think
there
he's
are
cool.
Different stories about him, and he's a cool dude, and there's different stories that have his picture, so people know what he looks like.
Did you tell me he's ironically single?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's no woman in his life to figure this out.
Number one, he's single. Number two, he is not himself using any of these services.
Right. Well, that's usually what your significant other does, like nowadays. They go check to see if you've got a profile on these services now. That's what the youths are doing. I mean, I wouldn't know. I've been married 33 years.
Either.
But that's what the youths are doing. Maybe Carolyn would know. Maybe she's doing that with her boyfriend.
At any rate, that's why he was kind of taken aback when he starts getting this stuff.
Yeah.
And he even had somebody show up at his door to get in a fight with him because it was like a jilted lover that you know, came after him.
Because he took away his girl?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So, I mean, this is actually entering truly frightening territory, not just getting flowers.
Yeah, imagine getting punched in the nose by somebody. You're like, what'd I do? I just have a Magnum P.I. Mustache.
The unfortunate bottom line for him is that it's not as though he had, like, a compromised account somewhere that he can now lock down or close, then everything is going to be fine.
They stole his
personality. They're stealing his identity, and it's going to go on forever because it literally can't be stopped.
Right. You and I are safe. It's not going to happen to us.
Yeah, who's going to want to be me?
Exactly. You and I are safe, Dennis. You and I are safe. But it is, if you happen to have a Magnum P.I. mustache, look out. Somebody might impersonate you. Do you attract women to your
The bottom line here is
romance scams are a pretty common thing.
Yeah, and the scammer is actually getting, you know, gift cards from from women and stuff. I mean, there is financial cost for them.
Oh yeah.
I mean, this guy, I mean, aside from having somebody show up to beat him up, he's not exactly suffering, but the bottom line here is that it's really, really wild what the scammers are up to these days and how diligent they are about doing what they do.
Yeah, it's crazy. They have whole industries out there. They're literally in these massive data centers, or even I should say my call centers in Kolkata. I mean, I'm seeing these. If you want to look at how we're getting back at these guys, there's a website called Scammer Payback. Very enjoyable to watch them actually blow up these scammers' networks. Give them a hard time. So there's actually some great YouTubes out there and stuff that's happening where they're getting really hammered back, which is good.
In this case, there's a detective who has actually looked at email accounts that are associated with these scammers, and it seems like there are multiple teams using this guy's ID.
Amazing. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. No guests, just you guys giving us a call so we can help you out with your computer comments, questions, and concerns. We are broadcasting, simulcasting on the Facebooks and the YouTubes if you want to watch and verify why Dennis and I are safe from having our likenesses stolen. Feel free to get on the tubes there, and you're welcome to watch our program that way. Mike G is going to post everything for you over to X and our Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network, which if you'd like to join, just ask. And if you're not a crackpot, we'll let you in. And Dennis will post everything live over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. Of course, please subscribe to our podcast. It doesn't cost you anything, and we don't make anything for it. But we're happy to have you, and you can listen to our show. We've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of programming going back many, many years. So, we don't sound any different. We just have less hair. We'll be right back. All right. We are back. A little propeller heads for you. Mm-hmm. We're going to be here till 11. And we do have Ziggy in the studio. Hey, Ziggy. Did you hear the one about the AI breaking into the other AI? We rehearsed this, by the way. Ribbit.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Ziggy, did you hear about the AI that broke into the other AI and hacked it? I saw it light up and everything. He ribbits. It's the craziest thing, Dennis. Yeah, I don't understand.
I don't understand.
I'm speaking loudly enough. I don't understand.
Well, it is reacting to you.
Yeah, you can see it light up.
Right. It's showing that it did hear the prompt.
It's literally the hello, my lady, hello, my fellow, hello, my ragtime gal. Remember that whole thing with Warner Brothers?
Oh, yeah.
And he's singing behind the curtain, and then they open the curtain, and he goes ribbit. I can't make it up. I'm trying to use AI in a studio. Actually, believe it or not, I think OpenAI is going to come out with a similar kind of contraption here where it's going to be kind of a speaker-based scenario like Alexa has, but maybe it'll work. Let's go to your calls, and we're going to go to John in South Glastonbury. Hey, John, what's up?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. So you guys had a great segue into what I'm calling about in regard to a scam. So potentially, and we don't know. So that's why we're calling.
Yeah.
We just bought a laptop on Amazon, and we plugged it in, and it asked for our password to connect, which we did. And then it got a message on our phone that WNC Corporation is now connected to our Wi-Fi system. And our concern is, who is WNC Corporation? And is this a scam because we bought the thing from Amazon? Or, you know, our worry is that now our router is compromised and that we do banking and everything else through this. So, you know, is this a legit thing or is this something that we really need to be concerned about? And if it is, what do we do to block it? Well, we did block it, but, you know, should we maintain this or what do we have to do?
WMC Corp.
Yeah, we're trying to figure out what that is. What is
WN William?
Oh, N is Nancy.
Charlie, yes. It's a Taiwanese company. We kind of looked it up. It looks
it's a hardware manufacturer that builds Wi-Fi chips.
Yeah.
Inside popular home smart devices. Wonder why I would pop. Do you have your own SSID and your own Wi-Fi? I would assume.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yep. Well, you would have had to.
More of the expert on this than I am, but
you would have had to have supplied the credentials for that to whatever hooked up to it.
We just gave the password, Wi-Fi password to them. We didn't put any.
Who's them?
Who's them?
SSID or Apple ID?
Who's the them that you gave the password to?
Yeah. Who's them? When you connect, who's the them that you gave the password to? We're trying to figure out. What do you mean you gave it to them?
So we put it into the system. Our router asked for a password. The laptop, you know.
Yeah. Okay, it almost sounds like it's some sort of weird naming convention of that Wi-Fi. What brand laptop did you buy?
It was an HP.
Huh. It's an HP. Yep. It's a pretty common laptop. I've never seen a pop-up like that, though, like a generic warning that your Wi-Fi device.
When you say this is a pop-up that came from your router, well,
I'm going to let my wife elaborate a little bit.
Okay.
That's okay.
More of the one. So, yeah.
Hi, guys.
Hi there.
I'm no expert, but we have Frontier for Wi-Fi.
Right.
And Eero is the router or modem.
Oh, so it's the... Let me guess. This is the Eero application on your phone telling you that a device connected to your network.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah. All right. It's not a...
So I do get notifications anytime anybody shows up and...
I actually have an Eero, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's almost too much information that they're giving you. It's causing you your concern.
All right.
Well, so then as soon as he entered our Wi-Fi password into this new laptop, I got a pop-up saying WNC Corporation connected.
Right.
Then here's what happened, okay? Right. And this is completely legitimate, all right?
Yes.
The router is recognizing that new laptop as being a WNC device because that is the manufacturer of the Wi-Fi controller on board it.
Right.
But it is actually your HP laptop.
Yeah.
It's just it's
almost too much information. It's a little too granular.
Right. I was going to say it's being too granular and too specific.
Yeah.
But so, that's what happened.
And it's good to be concerned and it's good that you have
a good eye. Yeah. I mean, you get a gold star for me for that.
Yeah.
But
it's good to know people what's connected to your network.
We're pretty sure you're okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, because we, you know, obviously everybody's got their banking apps and Fidelity accounts, and it's like, well, if this thing is not legit and it's got our Wi-Fi password, I was just concerned that we'd be compromised and shouldn't, we haven't used our phone to do access anything important.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was expecting it to say HP is now connected.
I know.
Like, Taiwanese company.
I know. It didn't help you by the way it described it. So, but you're still going to use a VPN when you connect to those services, right? When you're on your local computer?
We don't actually have one.
Well, you should get one. You can get free VPNs from Proton, and other companies will give you some free VPNs. So you could actually, that way you know you're always secure if you connect. Just a thought.
Even the free version you think is good enough?
Yeah. Yep. That'll be good
should
enough.
Should be.
Yep. Until it's not. But for now, it's
all right,
good.
Guys.
Yeah.
I think that's it for us. But,
all right. It's a good call.
Our minds at ease, so I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, John. We appreciate the call.
All right. Take care.
Yeah, take care. Bye-bye. So he's right to be concerned, right? You get that weird notification of what's going on.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I have an Eero, and I see those, and I know they're weird names that come up.
We'll be right back. All right. We are back. And again, I rehearsed with Ziggy. I even relocated it to see if it would matter. I don't know why it answers only to when we're on a break, but I'm not going to try it right now because you guys are on the line. We're going to go to Tom in Granby next. What's happening, Tom?
Good morning.
Morning.
I have two PCs that I built, and I'm concerned about the wake on LAN feature. They're networked together. Mm. It used to be that each one would wake up the other one when I put them to sleep. If I turned on the one, the other one would wake up. Then what happened is that the one I built last year would no longer wake up the second one, and it would only work the other way around. And what I did is I read somewhere that they have to be connected to the same device, meaning a switch versus a router.
Mm-hmm.
And I changed the port connections with the Ethernet cables, and now the second one does not wake up the first one. So I'm just wondering, is that what... decommissioned the wake on LAN, or is it something else?
The wake on LAN hasn't been decommissioned.
No.
It's still a thing.
No, it's a question of how the connectivity is working.
Have you changed ports on the switch to see if the ports make a difference?
Yeah, that's what I did. I changed the setting. I didn't change settings, but I changed the plugged into one out instead of the other.
All right.
But I don't think that had anything to do with it, because aren't the magic packets sent to a specific MAC address?
The IP packets?
Is that how it works?
Did you say magic packets?
They would be broadcast. They would be broadcast.
Yeah.
So every device on that same network is going to get the packet.
Oh, the wake up on LAN packet. Right. Yeah. As long as you're on the same network. So you if you have a VLAN configured on that switch, weirdly, you could find that one PC is on one network and the other one's on another network. But if you haven't done that, sometimes the switches are... You could have had...
Well, they're on the same network, because when the computers are on, I could ping each one.
Okay.
If I put the IP addresses, there's no problem, but when they're all turned on, each computer can ping the other one.
And they're both Windows 11, right?
I'm sorry?
They're both Windows 11?
Win 10. Windows 10.
We're doing some checking on Windows 10, wake up on LAN. Give us a second.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make any sense that it would just change like that, though.
Yeah.
Not working. So funny, we don't find this very often in our client base. Ah, fast startup is enabled.
Oh.
Make sure your fast startup is not turned on.
Yeah, it's not turned on. I went into the BIOS and it's not turned on.
All right.
No, fast startup is not in BIOS. It's in Windows.
Yeah.
Well, wherever it was that I checked it, it's not there.
Mm. That's a big one. Then, of course, the power adapter settings are misconfigured, or the WL.
All right,
is
if I
disabled.
Did a factory reset of the router, would that take care of the problem?
No, the router really shouldn't have anything to do with it. If you're pinging the device on the network, I would think you could even put it into a router and have it work. It shouldn't matter whether it's on a router or a switch. I'm only worrying about being on different networks, and you've already proven that it's not. So you've allowed the device to wake up the computer, right? In power management, you've set that on. Only allow the magic packet.
That's checked on, right.
Yeah. Shutdown wake LAN is enabled. So you get some advanced configurations. Make sure you've disabled any energy efficiency. Have you done that?
Yeah, that's done, yes. Yeah, when I called up Gigabyte, the manufacturer of the MOBOs, and they had me run through all these. They wanted screenshots of the power configurations and everything, and they agreed I'm all set up for success, but it's just not working.
Well, that's welcome to our world, yeah. Trying to find something specific here. Is it a PCIe switch, or is it just a standard switch? Does it have any kind of...
It's a Netgear. It's unmanaged. So that's
unmanaged. Okay, so no VLANs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Man, this is a big problem. I'm seeing this all over the place.
Yeah, it's kind of a delicate thing. Although it shouldn't be, because it operates on broadcast packets.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think that it should.
It shouldn't. Yeah. So
The only thing that I can suggest is on the computer that doesn't wake on my end.
Well, now neither one wakes up.
Neither one, huh? You're making it better.
Oh, neither one of them. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. He fixed it all right.
I will. Yeah. I'm going to suggest that you go into Device Manager.
Okay.
And remove the adapter from there. Reboot the computer.
I did that already. That's what Gigabyte suggested. That did not help.
Okay.
Yeah, I tried that.
Is there any kind of, maybe the router could be blocking those packets? Like he's got some sort of...
It's an old router. It's a Linksys BSF FSR 41.
I wonder if it might be, transmitting the broadcast packets. Yeah.
Maybe.
It may not be relaying the broadcast packets.
I see.
There could be some settings in there that might...
Yes, there may be a setting in there that you have to use to enable broadcast traffic.
Yeah, port forwarding for the magic packets, either port 7 or 9. I don't know about that, but port forwarding has to be turned. This is a weird one. Otherwise, I would just tell you to turn them on yourself.
port forwarding would be from the WAN side to the LAN side.
Yeah,
I don't think that would be in play here.
Man, oh man, this is a problem.
It doesn't make sense that it would. But there still may be a setting in the router.
How about link speeds? Are they both at the same link speed?
Yes.
Are they? I mean, there's got the 1 gig, the 2.5, the 5. I mean, you could have literally may have to set I've never got this granular with network settings these days, but you may have to keep them both at the same speed. So whether it be a 1 gigabyte, 2.5 gigabytes, depends on what you have for NIC cards. They may not be able to negotiate with each other because they're at different link speeds. Possibly. Because I guess these newer NICs, the newer NICs can go pretty fast. You can have 2.5 gig and 5 gig, and it just might be not negotiating that magic packet. That's what we're seeing. That's what
possible.
I'm seeing. Because what you're describing is so odd, and you've done everything you're supposed to do, that it has to get down to something like, or you can change your firewall out, but that's an expensive change.
I still am having a hard time thinking that the firewall is causing it unless it's doing something to prevent the broadcast packets from moving through.
Yeah,
I've read that this particular router can have trouble with the packets getting through.
Oh, well, then I was onto something.
Yeah, so maybe I should just change routers to another one up to date.
If this feature means that much to you, that would be a way to go. And how old is the router?
The PCs are on different levels, and I don't want to be climbing stairs to when I share files.
Fair enough. How old is the firewall?
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.
How old is the firewall?
The router, sorry. I should have used the same term.
The router is it's 20 years old.
Oh, my gosh. You got to change that anyways. Yeah, that's got to be it.
Yeah.
Most likely the newer NICs are trying to actually communicate at a higher speed and your firewall.
Yeah, that router is only going to handle fast Ethernet at best.
Yeah, 100 megabit.
Uh-huh.
So you're probably dealing with that. So that could be it, Tom. Go get a new router firewall and see if that works. I'm curious.
Okay. All right. Appreciate the help.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Okay. Right, thank you so long now.
Yeah, that could be it. Because everything else is going on, and he's got a 20-year-old firewall. That's got
to
be it.
Yeah, that router has to be acting as like a sinkhole for that broadcast traffic.
All right. Let's go on to Sherry in West Hartford. What's happening, Sherry?
Oh, hi, guys. Good morning.
Morning.
I had an issue come up dealing with my computer. I don't know if anybody else has had that. I have an HP laptop, and I was having some issues with Bluetooth connectivity. So I bought it at a big box store, and I did have a contract for computer help. So I called them up, and someone walked me through, and they updated my Bluetooth, whatever, and everything worked fine. And then this person said to me, also, while I have you, do you want me to clean up your temporary files and update your computer for you? And I said, well, that sounds good. Okay.
So well, you let them in your system?
Yes, I did. So they supposedly cleaned up the files and updated, and then my screen went black.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, uh-huh. So they said, well, let me see, you know, do this, do that. And I got a message on my screen saying, BIOS failed. Try again.
Wow.
Black screen. Well, an hour later, they had me, you know, pushing the start button and at the same time pushing F10. And we went through this over and over again, and it still said BIOS failed. Okay. So then they suggested to me that I call HP.
After you paid them for service?
There you go. So I called HP, and you have to pay them, of course, a month. And I said, well, what am I going to do? Person at HP was wonderful, fixed it in 10 minutes. And what happened was, this was a six-year-old computer. It was Windows 10 on the hard drive. It had been updated to 11. They tried to update the BIOS to 11 and messed up everything.
Yeah, they tried to do a BIOS update for you, yeah.
So for people, I had no idea what a BIOS was, to be perfectly honest. But I learned quickly. However, that was something that the first technicians at the big box place should have seen that this was Windows 10, right?
Well, they would if they're selling it as refurbished, they probably knew it was an upgraded Windows 10 to Windows 11.
Right.
So there's that. But the bigger question is, why did this other support company try to do something like this?
Right.
I mean, we can assume the best, that they were trying to help you, but sometimes it's not worth the effort. So, yeah.
But they had no idea what was going on. That was the other, you know, issue, whereas the HP guy took over my computer also, looked at my, you know, at my computer specifics and said, oh, your Windows 10 hard drive, it's hard drive on there. And he said, you can't update the BIOS.
Right.
Yeah. So he knew exactly within, I don't know, minutes. However, it did cost me another fee.
Yeah. That's the thing with computers. I mean, that's why we retire operating systems, because we all can't know everything about everything. So, yeah, it's kind of a lesson to be learned here.
Which is why I'm telling you guys, other people won't fall into the same. And also, when you do call these places and they say, oh, can we take over your computer? Is that safe?
I don't think so, unless you have a real strong reason to.
Well, here's the thing. If you do have like a contract with a company,
then
it should be safe.
Yeah.
And I assume that they had to get on there in order to fix your Bluetooth problem. So,
right.
So they were in there for a valid reason, for exactly what you wanted them for.
Fair enough.
Right.
I think the place where this went awry is when they said, hey, can we clean up your computer and update it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In hindsight, I would say the answer should have been no. Yeah.
and in general,
and you couldn't see me doing it maybe unless you're watching on Facebook. But I was like, oh yeah. No, don't even tell me. As soon as I heard you say that,
I mean, what could go wrong?
Right, you get lobotomized. The thing about what we do here on the program, though, is we don't remote it to any of your computers, right? So we kind of do what we do old school. Actually was reminded of this by a fan of the program because it reminds him of how, I mean, we've been doing this for 30 years, right? So you haven't been doing it for 30 years, but the point is you've been doing computers for 30 years.
Yes.
And in the old days, you didn't have access to remote access.
Exactly.
Right. So you had to walk the person through, and that's what we have to do here on this program, right? So he could have walked you through the Bluetooth issue, but it's easier just to grab control and not wait for you to click on this or click on that.
Right.
Right. So it's kind of old school that we do this here on the radio program. But in general, I would tell you never to invite anybody on your computer for any reason at all, except for the fact that you paid for the service. Any other reason that somebody says they need access to your computer, no matter what it is, is a scam.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
So don't do it. Even if somebody says whatever they're going to say to you, don't ever let anybody on your computer. These scams are ridiculous at what's happening out there, and people are letting these bad guys on your computer. And so your example, though, is typical of IT, right? So the guy you were on didn't know what he was doing. The next guy knew what they were doing. And you're going to always find those different levels of experience. But I was already thinking bias lobotomy when you talked about it, when it said biases. It said it exactly on the screen. The guy should have figured that out in the first place.
Right.
So obviously he wasn't up to snuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I just thought anybody else out there, don't let them do anything.
No, good lesson.
Yeah. Thanks, Sherry.
Okay. Thanks a lot. I learned a lot from you guys anyway over the years. So thank you.
We appreciate
it. Now I learned something else.
Sounds good. All right. Thanks, Sherry.
Thanks a bunch.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. We're going to step out for a break. Lori, Joe, and Larry, hang on. We'll get right to you guys. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. All right. We are back. This is Ziggy music. You'd think he'd be awake, awake for us, but he doesn't answer, only talks to me off air. I don't know why. But we'll go to Lori first because you guys have waited long enough. Let's go to Lori in Deep River. What's happening, Lori?
Hey, good morning. It sounds like Ziggy is very shy.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Okay, my questions kind of share the info on Kurt the Cyber Guy. Heard him earlier this week, and he was saying that there's a security system on vehicles 2017 and newer cars, AR or SWAS or SW, I'm not sure the other initials, that allows with Bluetooth connection, which in order to use AirPlay or CarPlay, whatever it is in the vehicle, you have to have Bluetooth on, but it allows others to randomly remote start your vehicle and then
Bypass
the security, steal the vehicle. So it was just something I hadn't heard for, and we immediately went out looking on our vehicle to make sure we didn't have that sticker on the front because I didn't sign up for the remote tracking of the vehicle, which I'm assuming that's part of it. But is there something on? We have a newer Ford, and it's a pain in the neck trying to hook up the Bluetooth to the vehicle sometimes.
Yeah. That's because your device is older than what it wants or what have you. That does happen. It happens to me too.
No, I actually haven't. I told you guys last time my son gave me his newer, I think I'm on a 13 right now.
Okay.
I have to look.
Newer, that's fine.
Even with new equipment, Bluetooth is still
fussy.
It's still a clunky technology.
Yeah.
There's no two ways around it.
But the story is true. We actually had to, Dennis had it.
I actually had a story. Now, I'm going to say this. Okay. Yeah. Number one, the exploit is real.
Mm-hmm.
But number two, it takes a lot of work and it takes proximity to use it.
Right.
Right.
Some hacker in Russia is not going to break into your car.
No.
Can't happen. Okay.
Yeah. No, I know they have to be. It's one of those, let me go by, feel the car handle and see if the door is unlocked. I can get in and go hotwire it.
The other thing is that the kits that were installed in these cars are all mostly sold in California.
Mm-hmm.
And they were for compliance with California regulations at the time that they were sold.
Yeah.
Now, if your car was not one of those cars, then it's not going to have this.
Right.
So you don't need to worry about it.
But it is ironic that California had a compliance requirement for the security, and the security was so dumb to leave the passwords and the actual communication to be the same. They didn't. They're using some sort of code that's universal. Again, it's a default password type of scenario here.
Why would we protect our water?
Exactly. So I think in this case, it is true. It's a real story, and yes, it's getting sensationalized, and we were going to join that crowd as well, because we have the story here, and we'll put the link up to Computer Talk so you can see it. This is not uncommon, though. We've seen this even with dealership software, because the dealership software is out there. It has been compromised where people can turn off different makes and models of different brands. You can do some searching to see what's happening with that. The unfortunately, the security on this stuff is not good. It should be better, but it's not good. But you're exactly right. It can happen, but probably not happening here in Connecticut.
Okay. Well, it just made me go look at my window looking for that sticker the other morning.
Right. But the problem is right now, whatever you're running could still be running a thing that's got the similar type of exploit, right? Even though you're not subscribed to it, by the way, doesn't mean it's not running.
Right. And is there something there we should have removed?
Well, that's the problem, right? Which wire do you pull? You can't even opt out of some of this stuff. Some of this stuff actually is being reported back to insurance companies. They're not necessarily tracking you specifically, but they might be randomizing your driving habits, reporting back to different insurance companies, your people's driving habits in general, so that they can then use that for underwriting. Either a good thing or a bad thing, but I think OnStar got some in trouble for some of that kind of stuff that was going on, even if you didn't subscribe.
We didn't do that.
But even if you didn't subscribe, you still had the same thing going on. So that's the problem, right? So you're good to bring this up, and we'll put the link to the story that Lori's talking about.
Great.
All right. Thanks, Lori.
All right, thanks so much, guys. Have a good weekend.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Right, bye-bye. I wish we could tell you how to turn it off or opt out.
There is no useful way.
Right.
To disable it.
And the next update the dealer gives you on your infotainment system will then change any default that you might have set, if there was a way, right? It brings it back to where it was, opting you in probably. So it's frustrating. Let's go to Joe in Berlin, see what he's got going on.
Morning. Got a question. When I'm playing Killer Sudoku on my phone, I keep getting these pop-ups about cleaning up the phone. There's CloudFront and Guardio.
Right.
Have you heard about those?
They're trying to sell you something.
Okay.
It's just nagging marketing stuff.
And it may be advertising that's embedded in the game itself.
Yeah.
Is there any way I can clean that stuff up?
Clean up the phone or to get rid of the pop-ups?
I'm more clean up the phone.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
Don't even bother.
Okay.
The phone, both iOS and Android have their own internal, how can I put it, maintenance routines?
Yeah.
And it generally will clean up after itself over time.
Right, in the old days,
you really did need to, flush cache partitions and stuff. That's not necessary anymore.
No. So they're trying to sell you something, Joe.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
You got it, sir.
Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The other thing, too, about those types of pop-ups is some of them are malicious, and even the provider of the app doesn't even know they've subscribed to a malicious delivery of some sort of malware.
That's because they just subscribed to somebody's advertising service.
Right.
Then the advertising service just takes ads from whoever submits them.
Yep.
And some of those ads are from scammers.
Exactly. So,
and they don't know it either.
Got to be careful out there what you click on. We're going to be here for another hour. So stick around. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842. You guys jammed up all the lines to begin with. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We love it.
Four lines open for you. So feel free to get online, and we'll do our best to continue to help you. Everything's been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. If you follow us on Facebook over at the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network, you'll get the links there. Again, we don't sell anything or make anything for it. It's just there for you so that you get the right links and don't Google it. And Mike G is posting all that there, as well as to our X account over at Tab Computer Sys. We'll be right back.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.